L'zichr nishmas, my grandfather, Yaakov ben HaChaver Yehuda, whose yahrzeit is on the 17th of Sivan, when part of this shir was prepared. Welcome to shir number 11 on the Sabbath, and this will be our last lecture, and here we're going to discuss Shabbos in the modern world. So let's begin with economics and Shabbos observance. Until the emancipation of the Jews in the late 1700s, so Shabbos observance was for the most part universal. When the Jews stepped out of the ghetto, many became involved in business and lost Shabbos. Shabbos is the soul of the Jewish people. Many of our ethical values are due to the influence of Shabbos. A bit later, maybe like 100 years later, Jews emigrated to England and the United States, and the great majority of Jews that came to America, this is true of Jews everywhere, are just about completely estranged from Shabbos. Some might still light candles or something to that effect, but many families have no connection to Shabbos or Judaism at all. Many of these Jews felt bad that they gave up Shabbos initially, but they felt compelled to do so, that the economic conditions forced them to give up Shabbos. Now the question is this necessary? There are many thousands of Jews who keep Shabbos, and somehow they do it. In truth, keeping Shabbos has never been easy at any point in history. Think of a farmer in ancient times who's losing a day of plowing, harvesting, etc. This could be the difference between having sufficient food and starving. We've had Jews living in miserable conditions throughout time. Think of the medieval Jew who had to stop working for 24 hours in pursuit of his extremely meager earnings. So what's the difference between their times and our times? Jews were determined to fight and keep Shabbos. It was their lifeline. Contact with outside values has taken away our sense of the supreme importance of Shabbos. So imagine a person is having a hard time earning a living, and therefore they decide to become a paid spy against their country. So when this person pleads that economic conditions force him to take such a job, so he will hopefully not be given much pity. And the same applies to Shabbos. Shabbos is the key to our national existence. To quote Diane Grunfeld, if Jewish people realize this, the Jewish person would say, Shabbos is the supreme value in life. It must not be touched. I must conquer or die. And he would conquer. For if the Jew is convinced that by breaking the Shabbos, he is destroying what is most precious in himself, and breaking the link that binds him to God and the Jewish nation, and if he stands firm in this conviction, however great his difficulties may be, then in the end God will help him. The old promise of the Torah still holds good. See that the Lord has given you the Shabbos. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. The present writer has seen so many examples of the fulfillment of this promise among Shabbos observant Jews that he can only pity those who call this argument naive. No Jew has ever died of hunger on account of the Shabbos, but many Jews, and even whole Jewish communities, have disappeared from the stage of their people's history through breaking the Shabbos. In the last resort, Shabbos is the great measuring rod of bitachon, the touchstone of our belief that a higher force rules and guides our lives. He who knows that his livelihood depends not on men, nor on nature, nor on economic forces, but on God himself, knows also that no real gain could come from work done in defiance of God on the Shabbos. How often can one see the imagined gains from such soul-destroying work cancelled by unexpected losses in other fields? And on the other hand, the person who stands firm and refuses to betray the Shabbos for the prospects of apparent monetary gain will often find that the loss was, after all, only illusory. The first step that needs to be taken is to re-educate the Jewish people to appreciate Shabbos and all that it stands for. As far as economic concerns, so they are, of course, valid, and we cannot ignore them. We need planning, foresight, and careful preparation when choosing a profession where one can observe Shabbos without undue difficulty. Now, this is, of course, something that children need to grow up with. Now, Baruch Hashem, in the United States, we've come a very long way with regard to this, and there are many jobs which, in the past, they were difficult for Jewish people to take those jobs if they wanted to keep Shabbos, while today, there are all sorts of religious accommodations, and this really spreads across many different types of careers. We need to keep in mind that Shabbos is not just about stopping one's job, one's pursuit of economic gain.
because this alone does not make a Jewish Shabbos. And we've discussed this in detail. The Neshama Yisira that one gets on Shabbos, which allows us to enjoy Shabbos in the fullest sense, is only given to one who keeps Shabbos in strict accordance with the Torah. As we know, not only is one not allowed to work, but one must also stay away from all melacha. Tan Grunfeld writes, in spite of all difficulties and of all indifference, the fight for the Jewish Shabbos must and will continue. The infinite blessing of this Shabbos must again become the possession of the Jewish masses. Until we achieve this aim, any words about Jewish spiritual revival will be no more than empty talk. Okay, so now moving into part two, we're going to focus on Shabbos and the Jewish state. So to quote Rav Beryl Wine, Israel is a Jewish state. It might not be an Orthodox state, it might not be a Torah state, certainly the way that we would want it, but it is definitely a Jewish state. One who lives in Israel is surrounded by some level of Judaism, and this applies to many things, but what we're going to mention here, obviously, is Shabbos. Israel is the only country in the world where Shabbos is the national day of rest. For individuals, the economic problems that we mentioned, although I still, again, I don't think they're as difficult in the United States anymore, but in Israel, these were always less of a problem. They're not very common. In Israel, companies that work on Shabbos are actually the exception. However, just as one could have a day of rest without having Shabbos, so could an entire state. One can look at Shabbos as a social necessity or as a custom or a tradition and miss the whole idea and point of Shabbos. So Diane Grunfeld writes on this, it must be kept as a God-ordained day, a day of cessation from melacha as defined by the Torah, undiminished from the demands of ignorance and undistorted by ideas gained from outside sources. Only then will it appear in its true form as the proclamation of God's presence in the midst of human endeavor and human society. Only then shall we clearly see its basic relevance to the problems of the age. Shabbos was given to us over 3,000 years ago, and Diane Grunfeld mentions that he feels that no age has ever had more of a need for Shabbos than our own, as today we are obsessed with melacha through the control of nature, through human intelligence. I would just add to that that today, with the use of smartphones and our addiction to them and technology, this is even more so. We have a delusion that we are self-sufficient. Instead of giving us a stable world to live in, they have increased instability beyond all imagination and produced a mass of rootless, hopeless, and fear-ridden humanity. So that's a direct quote. As an aside, this was definitely true throughout the Cold War. Shabbos frees us from the bondage that we have to melacha. It points us to sanity. It helps us recover the roots of our existence. Shabbos is the spark of hope in the modern world. As another aside, several years ago, the New York Times put out the front page of a fake paper. It was the Millennium Edition depicting January 1st, 2100. And on the lower left-hand corner of the page, it says what time Shabbos will be. And the story goes that the author of the page said that one thing we can know for certain, and in the year 2100, people will still be keeping Shabbos. So you can search for this online, and you can see it for yourself, or you email me, and I'll send you the link. But this definitely shows the effect that Shabbos has. Definitely a spark in a dark world, something that is sure and can be relied upon. Anyway, Israel has a responsibility and an opportunity when it comes to Shabbos. Through the Jewish state, the voice of Shabbos could be heard, which says to the Jewish nation, and in turn to the whole world, the necessity of serving a purpose higher than itself. It shows them the way out of a spiritual rut. It shows them that the labors of the entire society, if they are to have value and meaning, must only be devoted to God. Now, if the Jewish state is going to fulfill its Jewish destiny, Shabbos must be kept as the true Jewish Shabbos. The same ingenuity used in other spheres could help solve many practical problems related to keeping Shabbos in a Jewish state. There are companies today that develop Grumman devices that could be used by certain individuals. There are automatic milking machines used on from farms. There are ways to store electricity so people do not need to work on Shabbos, unless of course it becomes Sekhanas Nefashos, whatever the case is. And there are many other examples. To finish it up, I'm going to read the last part inside. Thus, science can contribute to that great glorification of God's name, the full observance of the Jewish Shabbos by the people and institutions of the Jewish state. Once it was accepted by the bulk of the Jewish nation, This unique act of homage and service would indeed be a herald of the Messianic era, when the nations will set aside their destructive ends and unite in the service of the living God. This is the meaning of a profound saying of our sages: if the whole of Jewry were to observe but two Shabbosim according to the halacha, they would at once be redeemed. So this concludes our series on the Sabbath, and I hope that Dan Grunfeld would have approved of this project, and I hope that you, the listener, have found it helpful. And I always look for feedback, so please feel free to email me. My name, DanieyAdler, Daniel Y. Adler, @gmail.com.